Our scripture lesson for the sermon today, Pastor Oleg Volkov will be preaching. It is my privilege to read from Proverbs chapter 3, the first 12 verses. Grant this a diligent hearing, for this is the living and active and incredibly sharp word of the Lord. Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom He delights. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the application of His word. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is my privilege at this time to welcome to our pulpit Pastor Oleg Volkov, the pastor of the Reformed Presbyterian Church in St. Petersburg, Russia. Pastor Oleg, please.
Good afternoon. Peace and grace to you, dear beloved in Christ, brothers and sisters. Greetings with love of our Lord Jesus Christ to the assembly of the holy ones. It is a great honor for me to be here with you. Taking the opportunity, let me give your best regards from the saints of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of St. Petersburg. I would like to thank Pastor Jeff and all of you for inviting me to visit your wonderful church. Unfortunately, I don't have a gift to speak in tongues. Therefore, please be lenient with me and my English. I will do my best to be clear and understandable. To begin with, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and grace that you revealed in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Jesus Christ, the Word of Life, our Lord and Savior, and for the Holy Spirit who made us alive. Please help us to be attentive to your Word today. Be a light to our knowledge so that we can see your truth and understand your holy will. Make us strong by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Help us to become effectual doers of the word, but not forgetful hearers. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Beloved in Christ, brothers and sisters, today I would like to share with you six principles of successful life. From Proverbs chapter 3, verses from 1 to 12. Of course, the Bible doesn't call this passage as six principles of successful life, or something like that. I chose this title, and I hope you will understand why. Here are some points I want to draw your attention to before studying Proverbs. First, it is wisdom. As for me, books of wisdom from Job to Song of Songs are my favorite. But Psalms and Proverbs are the most favorite. I try to read them every day. I love wisdom. Not the wisdom itself, but God's wisdom that is revealed in the Bible. And I love to ask questions and search for answers. Isn't it the biblical way of learning things? Jesus always asked people questions to make them think. Apostle Paul did it. And one day I asked a question. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? I began to study the scripture and praise the Lord, found the answer. Wisdom is practical application of true knowledge. In other words, wisdom is listening and doing the word of God. This is the essence of true faith, revealed not in word, but in deed. Put simply, God said and I do it because I trust in Him. There is no passive here. I must be active to apply His word in practice. Why I say true knowledge? Because we know that there is true knowledge, the word of God, and false knowledge, the word of Satan. As we can read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It was God's word. And in the next chapter, 3, verses 4 and 5, we read, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Similar situation. Who did the man listen to? Satan. And was deceived. We all know the result of this obedience to Satan. The man not just listened to some information. He did what he was taught. Whose word became an authority for the man? The word of Satan. Unfortunately. And the man showed it by his actions. He did what he was taught. This is how the Bible describes it. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. We read almost the same in James chapter 1, verses from 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and intensed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it fully grows, brings forth death. First, we need to understand. We receive information from with our eyes and ears. Then we begin to think it over. Then we have a desire to act accordingly. And here we make a choice and decide what to do. So who makes a decision? A man. No wonder that he is responsible for all his decisions. It is his choice. And that's how practical application of knowledge works. We consider some information, digest it, and make a decision. At this point, the source of information is of critical importance. Source of information. It is true or false? We know that the Word of God is true, but any distortion of word is false. Therefore, James talks about two kinds of wisdom. God's wisdom, which comes down from above, and earthly demonic wisdom. The first is true, and the other is false. Remember it. Second, very important to understand that decisions give results. Every time. This is so-called cause and effect relation. We see it from the very beginning when we read, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Says the Lord, in other words, if you break my commandments, you will die. If you obey, don't break a law, you won't die but will live. Satan used the same cause and effect logic when he said, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Same logic. God says, say it, and Satan say it. If you eat, you will be like God. In other words, there is a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. And it works in any sphere of human life, even if you don't believe it. As you sow, you shall mow. Remember it. Third, we are going to talk about successful life. Very popular theme, very popular subject. I don't know, maybe we think that I will be talking about successful life. Yes, I will talk about successful life. But what is success? Who knows? What is success? I am sure each of us will give different answer. Why? Because we are different. Several years ago, I could not say a word in English. I cannot say that today I am fluent, but if we compare past and present, I made some progress. Is it a success? Of course, at least for me. One day I asked myself, how does God determine success? What does it mean to be successfully biblical? And here is what I understood. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. male and female, he created them. Also, we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. According to God, true success is to be like Christ. Jesus is an example of a true man who is a true image of God. To be like Christ, not only outwardly, but also in character, in your personality. If God told me that I conformed to the image of his Son, it would be true success for me. Keeping in mind this observation, let's turn to Proverbs 3. We read, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Remember that I love to ask questions. My son, who is it? The wise father teach his son now how to organize his life. The son is supposed to follow father's advice. Can a wise and good father give bad advice? Not at all. If the earthly father does his best to give good advice for his son, then how much more our Heavenly Father cares for His children. Thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can call God our Father. Therefore, the words, my son, refer to all those who consider God their Father. And all wise advice of our Father is for us. The first principle. Do you remember we will talk about six principles of successful life? First principle, don't forget the teaching and keep the commandments in your heart. The son must be active. He must do something. What? Listen and obey. The son is responsible for hearing the advice and obeying. And if he is attentive and does what he is supposed to do, then we see what happens. Verse 2. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Obeying the commandments will bring good life and peace. Is not just a result. It is promise. That is a result assured. Something like, if you do what I tell you, you will get this and that. If you don't forget the teaching and keep the commandments in your heart, you will live longer and in peace. This is promise from God. That was principle number one. We read in verses 3, don't let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. The second principle is, be kind and act in truth. Be kind and act in truth. The father tells his son, let kindness and truth take deep roots in your heart. That's what the words bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet on your heart mean. What does it mean to be kind? New question. What does it mean to be kind? To have a tender heart full of compassion. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Compassion is when you feel others' pain and problem. It is a tendency to help others. It is a sacrifice, if you like. What does it mean to act in truth? Second question, what does it mean, act in truth? To do what is right. If you say me, to do what is right, I will ask, who knows how to do right? Who knows? God knows, because he determined what is right and what is wrong. He is creator. He knows what is right and what is wrong. What is truth? Next question. What is truth? I think truth describes the reality. And the real reality is described in the Bible. Therefore, truth is the Word of God. The man received the word as an authority for his faith and life. That's how it was from the very beginning. So, act in truth is to listen and obey the word of God. To listen and obey the word of God. If the man does it, he will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Interesting. In other words, as you sow, you shall mow. If the man is kind and acts in truth, he has good relation with God and people. In the English Bible, it is said that the man will find good repute. In the Russian Bible says that the man will find mercy and favor of God and people. Will find mercy and favor of God and people. Anyway, if kindness and truth are rooted in the heart of the man, he will develop good relation with God and people around. As it is said in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, when a man's way are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Let's move to verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. The third principle is, don't trust in yourself, but trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways, acknowledge him. What does it mean to trust in the Lord with all your heart? It is when the Lord is the only hope in your life. It is easy to say. But when the Lord is the only hope in your life, it means that trust him all heart. Very often we try to solve all our problems ourselves. Only after we fail, we come to God. We remember the proverb, God helps those who help themselves. It's a very popular proverb in Russia. However, the wise father tells his son not to trust in himself, but put all your trust in the Lord. It is silly to trust in him, in yourself or any other person, because we people are very limited creature and don't even know what happens to us in a minute. Or as Jesus said in Matthew 5, because you cannot make one hair white or black. It is a sin to trust yourself because it is egocentrism. The best advice is to trust in the Lord with all heart. Do you know how we can do it? I know one small secret. Are you ready to get this secret? You have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. Then God will be the only hope for you. In all your ways to acknowledge Him means to be His lifelong disciple. Discipleship is a process of development and moving forward. It is a process of reformation. If you learn from the Lord, you become like your teacher. We often ask our God, why did this or that happen to me? What for? I am worse than others? These are wrong questions to ask. Instead, we have to ask Him, why did you send this in my life? What should I learn from this problem or from this situation? If we believe that our Lord has all power over His creation, if we trust in Him, if He is our only hope, then whatever happens in our life, it is not by chance, but according to the will of God and for our good. God will lead us in our life. If we remind His disciples and keep acknowledge Him in all our ways, He will make your path straight. Such life makes sense. Believe me, the worst thing is when you don't know what you live for and where you are going. I experienced this feeling in my life. That's why I can assure you that this principle works by 100%. Then we read verses 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The first principle is, don't be wise and self-confident, but fear God and turn away from evil. You are wise in your own eyes when you rely on yourself and reckon only with your own opinion. This is the essence of sin, egocentrism. I am God, and I am God, and I do what I like. Every time, I am God. Therefore, the father tells his son, not be wise in his own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. To fear the Lord means to respect Him and consider Him the highest authority. Listen to Him and obey Him because His words are commandments for our life. God knows the best way to handle this life because He created it. Why should we turn away from evil? Why? Two reasons. First, because God hates evil. Evil is insulting and dishonoring. God will never ignore the one who does evil. Second, because of one spiritual law, remember, as you sow, you shall mow. If the person turns away from evil, meaning he doesn't do evil, evil does not come back to him. But if he does evil, he sows evil, then he will reap nothing else but evil. For the son who listens to his father and obey his commandments, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Verse 8. Interesting. Meaning, he will be very healthy. Health seems to depend on our relation to God. Do we respect him enough to give up self-sufficiency? Is there any connection between health and our relation with God? I think when the person fears God, he respects him and makes him the highest priority in his life, then this person lives in accordance with all spiritual law which work for this man, not against him. The person begins to live in harmony with God and his creation, and no wonder that it is very favorable for his health. In Russia, they often say that nervous causes all disease. Nervous. When you live in harmony with God, you live in peace. There is no reason to be nervous in distress. But when you don't live in harmony with God, then every time you face problems, you feel nervous, to say the least. And of course, it is very negative for your health. Please, can you name any revolution or raid that yielded good results? Do you remember? I know, I don't remember, that revolution or riot will bring good health, good emotions, good situation. Didn't Adam destroy himself when he decided to go against God's will? We read next. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. The fifth principle is, honor the Lord from everything you have and will have. Honor the Lord. It is interesting to note that many people don't understand this principle. Some think that enrichment comes out from collecting and accumulation. It does not. According to the fifth principle, you get rich from being wasteful. In other words, when you use what you have not just for your comfort and personal accumulation, but to serve the Lord and other people, something strange happens. You don't become poor, but get richer. The father says that the son must honor the Lord from everything he has and will have. What does it mean to honor the Lord? It means to respect him and be good stewards of everything he gives us. For everything we have is his. Everything. Wise stewardship is when you use God's gift not for your personal good, but for other people. Jesus Christ is the best model for us to follow. He used his life and gift to serve people. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Jesus scattered abroad his life, but gained much more. As we read in Philippians 2, who, although he existed in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look what happens when the person follows this principle in his life. God says, "Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." When you are a good and wise steward of what God gave you, you gain much more. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. God wants us to learn to be good stewards, not just consumers starting from a very little thing. Luke 16:11. "If you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteousness wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you?" We read next, "My son, don't reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof." The sixth principle is, don't avoid the discipline and take a correct view of it. Very few like the discipline. Most people consider it punitive. Therefore, they get sad when they are disciplined and try to avoid it. Why does it happen? Because people misunderstand the main point of discipline. They think that discipline is a punishment for something wrong the person does. They see discipline as something negative. We meet the word discipline in the English Bible. But in the Russian Bible, they use word punishment. In original language, we see the word discipline or correction. Discipline corrects and makes the person better. Discipline is God's judgment in the life of the person. Any judgment shows the difference between right and wrong, good and bad. God has already said what is good for a man and what God expects. When time comes, God evaluates the life of man. This is a time of judgment. It is good for a man because he dies for sin and untrust and rises to a new life. David was the one who understood it very well. We read in Psalm 19. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is a great reward. By them your servant is warned. The wise father also understands the value of judgments and discipline. Therefore, he asked his son not to reject the discipline and have the correct attitude towards it. That is not to grieve about it. Why it is important not to grieve? For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Discipline reveals God's love and his kindness. Whom he loves, he reproves. Good news. Whom he loves, he reproves. Discipline is a way to transformation and perfection. It is an illustration of evidence of the special attitude of God the Father to his children. As Paul said in Philippians 1, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Discipline is an essential part of our spiritual transformation into the image of Christ and true discipleship. I am deeply convinced that these principles work by 100%. I am deeply convinced. Because as Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11 says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and don't return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes from my mouth. It will not return to my empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." These principles may not work only for one reason: when we don't use them and remain forgetful hearers but not effectual doers of the word. Let me give you some advice concerning application of these principles. First, don't forget the teaching and keep commandments in your heart. Keep reading the Word of God and meditate over it. Meditation helps to keep the Word in your heart. When we memorize the Scripture, we may forget what we have learned if we don't repeat it regularly. Meditation is a great way to keep in your heart what you have learned. It involves deeper process in your brain. As for me, if I want to remember something and keep it in my heart, I reflect over it, try to come to the point, and then formulate it in a short form so that it will be easy to store it. For example, Psalm number 19, two kinds of God's revelation. Tulip, five principles of Calvinism. Second, be kind and act in truth. It is your desire and practice. The question is, what kind of decision did you personally make? For example, every time when I see an alcoholic, drug addict, or a hobo, I pray for them and ask God to give them a chance to repent their sin. Deep in my heart, I grieve for these people who, because of their sin, abased the image of the Lord so far that it became worse than beats. Every time, I have to make a choice and ask myself, what does God want me to choose? What does He say about it? And then try to make conscious choice in favor of God. It is always a struggle with flesh. It is a strong struggle every time, because my flesh would like to be as a God. But I need to understand how I can do the best in favor of God. Third, don't trust in yourself, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and in all your ways acknowledge Him. Be honest with yourself. It is very important to be honest with yourself. Is the Lord your only hope? Do you really trust in Him only? What kind of question do you usually ask God when you face troubles? Why, Ili, or what for? Why or what for? Do you see your life as a Christ school or a mess? Consistence? Do you see every day as a chance to become more like Christ in any circumstances? Last year, I received serious burns when the electric pot with hot soap exploded in my kitchen. As a result, I got into the hospital. It is difficult to describe my physical pain, but I prayed and asked God to explain me why He let it happen in my life. I neither argued nor revolted. I wanted to understand God's will in that situation. There are many burned people around me. There were many burned people around me. I began to pray for them. And I had a chance to tell them about Christ. When doctors and nurses found out that I was a priest, they came to me with different questions. During the week in hospital, I learned a lot of valuable lessons that I would never learn in other circumstances. Praise the Lord, and thank you for your prayers about it. Fourth, don't be wise and self-confident, but fear God and turn away from evil. It is necessary to learn to respect and fear God. This process is rather painful because it involves self-denial. Very painful, because we love Himself, ourselves. We will have to learn to be patient and attentive. There are moments in our life when we want to give up everything and start from scratch. We think this is the only way to change everything. If I start from scratch, I won't make those fatal mistakes because I am a man of experience already. But this is what we call self confident philosophizing. There is a great remedy for this ailment. Admit the superpower of God in humility and with respect. It means to agree that God, not me, is in charge of everything. And everything He sends to my life is for my good, even when I don't understand it. Fifth, honor the Lord from everything you have and will have. God has already said everything about tithes and donations we bring to church. They are pleasing to Him. But God wants us not only to bring tithes, but be good stewards of everything He gives us. That is, we have to help other people when we can. It is good to help other people if we can help. I know one pastor, he is my friend, who has 4 kids. They live on a very modest income. Not long ago, they took one more boy into their family, their nephew. His mother lives alone and cannot care for her son in a proper way because she has to work all the time. When I met the family of this pastor, they told me, "We made this decision because we think there is no big difference between 4 and 5. Where there are 4, there is room for one more. He will eat what our kids eat, and we will teach him the same we teach our children. God will help us." 6. Don't reject the discipline and take a correct view of it. Discipline is an essential part of our training. God is using the discipline for our good, to make us better. This is the way to see His love. The most important question is how we see the discipline. Do we understand that it is not punishment, but corrections and transformation? Every Sunday when we get together, God judges us to convince us of His love. That is why it is very important to be in church in God's presence on the Lord's Day. I think Paul the Apostle summarized the discipline best in Hebrews 12. He quoted Proverbs when he said, "You have not yet resisted to the point of the shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father doesn't discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly father to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and life and live? For they disciplined us for as short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not be joyful, but sorrowful yet to those who have been trained by it. Afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Peaceful fruit of righteousness. This is the goal of discipline. In the name of Father and Son and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, merciful God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your great mercy and love you revealed through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being with us today, that you did not leave us without your word, our bread of life. Please multiply your grace for us to become efficient doers of your word, not just forgetful hearers. With thanks, we pray to you, our only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.